Hello.
Hello.
Welcome back to Double Indemnity, the podcast where we review and discuss new movie releases.
It's been a while.
It has. So, just a little disclaimer. We missed our first episode ever because I had the coronavirus. And at the time that we needed to film the podcast, we didn't know if Jonathan had it yet. So we were like trying to keep away from each other. So it's pretty hard to film a podcast.
Yes.
And also, COVID hit me really hard. Like, or at least it gave me like, I was not in the state to be filming a podcast. So Jonathan now has COVID, but it has not hit you hard yet. I don't know if it's going to hit you super
hopefully
hard.
Hopefully it won't. Hopefully this is the hardest it'll be.
Yeah. But since you're feeling good, you are up to the podcast so that we can get back on track because he's a trooper, super trooper. And I was lame and we didn't do it. But also, we were trying to not get you COVID, but it's kind of also okay that you got COVID because we have jobs where we're able to quarantine and we're getting married soon. So at least we know we won't get COVID during the wedding. And I have come back from it. I feel great. And most people I know have had this new strain. Obviously, some people had it really bad. And of course, that's not comparable. But I know a lot of people who've had it recently who got over it quickly. So it's making me hopeful that us being healthy individuals are going to get over it quickly.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm.
But we're back and we're doing an episode this week and we're doing the first of its kind episode for this one because today we're going to review a documentary, which we've never done a documentary before.
That's true. We haven't. Yeah.
Which surprises me because you never like want to watch documentaries like ever.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't know why I don't.
But then you suggested this one. So our Letterboxd was not accurate this time. But for people who are new to the podcast, follow us on Letterboxd, DI_podcast, where we post the movies before we talk about them. This past week, it was not accurate because the movie we had wanted to talk about, we had to go to theaters to see. Yes. And that was just not going to happen, obviously. Yeah. So we ended up rearranging and we're now going to do a different movie. But a couple of intros before we intro the movie itself. First off, we're going to spoil the whole thing. We're going to talk about all of the main concepts. So if you don't want it spoiled, go watch it and come back after. And after that, I believe it is time for the first segment of the podcast, which is what are we watching right now?
What are you watching?
I watch whatever you watch because we live together.
That's crazy. Yeah. Didn't know that.
True.
We're watching a TV show called Changeling.
Changeling.
New episode comes out today.
Apple TV. Oh my gosh, it's so exciting. What time do the Apple TV ones release?
No idea.
I'm honestly like, Apple TV has been dropping good series recently. Like, we've been watching them. They're HBO too. Apple TV and HBO, you're dropping good stuff. I'm like
Netflix?
It.
I don't know.
Netflix also does this weird thing where, like, instead of releasing one a week, they release four and then wait 4 months or something and then release, like, four more or something. But I don't like
that. Oh, episodes?
I would rather have it weekly because if you, like, drop four at once and then you wait 4 months, I kind of forget about the show. Whereas if you have weekly, I'm still, like, it's still
kind of
fresh.
I agree with that. Yeah.
But like Silo was really good on Apple TV. Hijack was like, it was fun, I guess. Like, it was good. The ending was kind of anticlimactic. Oof. But now Changing is really good. And I had already heard of this story because I knew it was a book, but I never read it. Like, I just knew it was a really popular book. Like, I've heard of it.
That's probably why they made the TV series.
Yeah. And see, I knew about the book. You knew about the film.
The trailer.
Version.
I saw the trailer.
Yeah. Because you see all the trailers. So we make a whole person.
That reminds me, I need to catch up on my trailer watching. Crazy.
Your trailer? Are you behind?
I'm a little behind.
You have COVID right now, so you can catch up on your trailer watching.
I have a valid excuse. It's true.
Yeah. I didn't know you were behind. Why are you slacking off?
I don't know. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I disappointed you.
Well, you have a responsibility to all our podcast viewers to be on top of the new movie releases.
That's
so that
true.
We can talk about them.
If I'm not on
I
top,
never know
then
what's coming
who can
out.
Be? Goodbye, Beans.
Goodbye, Beans. Beans has just left us if you're not watching the podcast. Okay, so do you... Oh, wait. We're also watching House of Cards. We've just slowly been watching it.
Sure, we're on season three.
Yeah, yep. Just getting through it. I was watching a little bit of the new dropped episodes of Love is Blind and The Ultimatum. Sometimes you just want like a trashy whatever show. And I love them. And he loves them too. He pretends like he doesn't. But then if you get him started on him, he's like mad if you watch it without him.
I don't know what you're talking about. I can neither confirm nor deny any
Your silence
you
is
have made.
Admitting guilt. Are you trying
to reserve my right to the Fifth Amendment? Yes.
You didn't remember what it was until I said it.
No, I didn't know what it was. I just hadn't said it yet.
You knew what it was, but you didn't know what it was?
Because if I'm not saying it, then I hadn't said it yet. It's unsaid.
Some things are best left unsaid. Isn't that a saying?
I don't know. Is it?
I don't know, but I said it. It's not unsaid, so it's out there. It's not going back now.
It's not unsaid if you say it.
You're fair. Okay, do you want to intro the first documentary we're talking about on the podcast?
True. We didn't do Bama Rush, did we?
No.
We didn't do that on the podcast?
We did not talk about Bama Rush on the podcast.
I thought we did for a second.
No,
God,
that
documentary was even...
The documentary was awful. Terrible.
Anyway, this one's called The Deepest Breath. Directed by Laura McGann. This is her first documentary. Synopsis is, a champion and expert safety diver seemed destined... Oh, excuse me. That was the wrong way to say that. A champion and a expert safety diver seem destined for one another. Despite different paths taken, they meet at the pinnacle of the free diving world, experiencing the thrilling rewards and inescapable risks of chasing dreams through the depths of the ocean.
So has she not done like more movies?
I couldn't.
Like, or is this literally her first film ever?
Let me look it up again, because I feel like for a first documentary, this is pretty like...
Documentary.
What? I don't know why I said it like that. Oh, I'm tripping. She did a documentary called Revolutions.
So you literally lied.
No,
you
I didn't lie.
You are not a reliable source.
I was
on the
mistaken. An unflinching and poignant insight into the trials and tribulations of Ireland's roller derby scene.
So she likes sport documentaries, but specifically like niche sports, not like football, you know?
Football. Soccer.
Soccer.
Soccer. Anyway, I could not find the budget for this. I contacted everybody I could about it. They did not get back to me in time.
You reached out to anyone?
I reached out to
Laura, everyone.
And even she couldn't give me the budget.
No, you didn't.
Yeah. And box office is not available. Because this was released on Netflix back in July.
This was from July?
Yeah.
I did not know that. I had not heard about this. Okay, cool.
There you go.
Yeah. How's it doing? Do you know? Like, how are the reviews?
Middle of the line, I think.
Okay, that was literally you just saying, like, facts that you don't actually know.
No, that's true. I've read positive reviews and negative reviews about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Why not?
Because all the time you just like make up facts. And you always say in that way, you're like, yeah, I'm pretty sure it's middle of the line.
IndieWire did not give this a great review. A couple others gave it pretty good reviews. Others were like...
See, you're literally just saying random stuff. Like you could just be making this up. Like anybody could say that about any movie. Oh, well, some people said good things and some people said bad things.
Anyway... Whichever way you feel about the movie, it's bringing a lot of attention to the free diving sport.
It has, yes, it has. I've never heard of it before watching this.
Me either. Well, I guess I've heard about it, but I didn't know what all went into it.
Yeah.
What were the ins and outs and, yeah.
I've never heard of it before. I knew that there were, like, cultures and communities where, like, people naturally, like... hold their breath for long periods of time to like fish or something, or like it's just part of the culture to do diving like that. But I didn't know it was like
a
serious
sport.
Yeah. So I actually didn't know anything about this when we watched it. You literally just said something about like diving and I was like, cool.
It
was not, I had no idea what it was. I didn't even read the synopsis. So,
Yeah.
But how many stars would you give it?
3.
Really?
Yes.
I would say 3.5 because I was still emotional at the end and it kept me interested like 70% of the time.
Yeah, me too. I gave it a 3.5 at first and then I lowered it to a 3.
Yeah.
Just because of one part near the end.
Oh, one part near the end? Okay, well tell me when we get to talking to that part.
Oh yeah,
and
I got you.
What you didn't like about it. So... in my opinion, in the grand scheme of documentaries, like this is better than some documentaries such as Bama Rush, which is just awful.
Well, that's, yeah, that's a pretty low bar.
That's just like, I feel bad saying it was bad because it was like, if I wanted to watch a documentary about your struggle through alopecia, I would watch a documentary that's about that. I wanted to know about the young girls, like their experiences, like if it's really as terrible as people say, or like if it's more kind of just like psychologically very difficult to get through or something. But instead of it being about the girls, it was completely about the documentary like maker, and I just like did not like that.
Yeah, me either.
In this case, the documentary director did not do that. Thank you, Laura. I appreciate you for actually making it about who's in the documentary. But in my opinion, they kind of trick you because like they set it up with like you thinking it's going to be about this one girl, Alicia. And then they spend a long time developing like a different person, Steven. Like they show you Alicia, this crazy thing. And then all of a sudden it's like, nope, now we're going to talk about Steven. And you're like, why are we talking about Steven?
Yeah, it was a little like, oh, where is this going to go?
I know. So like the whole time they're showing us things about Steven. I'm like, why are you showing me this? This isn't relevant to the story. Like, and then in the end, you find out that the actual documentary climax and story is really about Steven. Like, it's about Alicia and Steven together, but like Steven was the big, whoa, you know what I mean? And like, it's just, it's confusing. And like, it makes, in my opinion, the documentary not seem highly focused. And you're kind of just frustrated the whole time as you watch it, since you don't really know what it's actually about, like the whole time.
It's hard to get a grasp on it.
Yeah. And so I have, like a theory on this, but we'll get to it when we start talking about the intro, about why it didn't work and why I was confused the whole time and how they could have done it better. But I'm not going to say that right now because I'm going to save it when we get into it. But I did get emotional at the end, like I said. And I think that makes a good documentary. And I also had an existential crisis at the end too, which I think also makes a great documentary. So I think that's a win. But whenever I see movies like Gran Turismo or like this movie, or you know, the one where all the children are stuck in the cave because of the flooding. I don't remember what it was called.
Yeah, what was that called?
But it was like
13 Lives.
Or, yes, I don't remember what it was, but it was. Like movies like that, I always leave it being like, oh my God, they accomplished so many amazing things. Like, wow, I'm wasting my life. And I think that for like 20 minutes. And then I remember that all the things that they have to sacrifice to live a life like that, like for them, it's worth it. But to me, like, it's not worth it. Like not having a home base, being distant from your family, like risking death every day. Like,
yeah,
I don't think it's worth the sacrifice that I would want to live my life like that. To them, it is worth the sacrifice. So like, everybody should live their own life. But then I tell myself it this because it doesn't make me feel bad about the way we're living our life. You know what I mean? Because I always leave these documentaries like, dang, I am a waste of space. You know,
it's all relative. It all depends about like what you value.
Yeah, exactly. And
that's what they valued. And
yeah, but it was definitely inspiring. Like, it was cute. It was kind of like a love story, but it wasn't really a love story. And it's kind of all about them like perfecting their sport and everything and being like extremists. But those are kind of like the only notes I had at the start. Do you want to get into the talking through like everything that actually happens in the documentary and my thoughts on that?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have any?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they start out the documentary just showing you someone like digging or doing an entire free dive from like start to finish. And the person is Alicia, who's like one of the main subjects of the documentary. So it's honestly like amazing being someone who's never seen or even like heard of this sport before to watch a person do it like completely from start to finish. Like, you are on the edge of your seat.
It's
like,
really good footage too.
Yeah, it was very high quality footage. Like, one great thing about this documentary is like they had so much footage of them actually diving.
Yeah,
so many pictures, so many like audio recordings of the people talking about their experiences and everything. Like, it was super well documented that the documentary was almost more a compilation of other people's films rather than them taking video for it, you know. Like, they might have done drone shots and stuff, but it was probably more of a compilation than anything.
Yeah. I kind of see what you mean there. I can see that.
Yeah. So, like, Then they show Alicia. She's just about to reach the top of the water at the end of her free dive. And then she blacks out. And as a viewer, like, you don't know, like, about blacking out and how it's actually very typical in the sport. Like, to you, it looks like, oh my gosh, she's going to die.
She just, yeah.
Like, you think she's going to die.
It was a good hook.
And then they cut away. And then you learn later that blacking out is common. And, like, if you have the right medical attention and blah, 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 and you don't have any other complications, like, you'll be fine normally. But this was their whole hook. And now you said it's a good hook. I don't think it's a good hook.
No.
No. And here's why. Here's my critique on the hook. My issue with it is that, like, usually in documentaries, like, they will show a hook of, like, a dramatic event, and then they cut away. And it, like, hooks the viewer, and that's why it's called a hook, right? And it gets you on the idea that that documentary is going to lead you up to that climactic moment. Or it's going to show you what happens after that climactic moment. But that is, like, the most important piece of, like, what they're building the documentary towards. And, like, the footage is pivotal and it's the climax and it's what we're going to learn about. But in this documentary, it's that's not what it is at all. So, like, it just kind of irked me, honestly, because it's like, it turns out that, like, that footage that they use as the hook is just a normal blackout that Alicia had. She was fine after it. And it has no significance to the climax of the documentary. And it was just a random dive that she did that she blacked out. And, like, I understand, like, maybe they wanted the hook to introduce potentially the danger of the sport, as well as, like, the concept of free diving as well. But when, like, they show someone doing the whole dive, it kind of throws you into the sport and, like, I don't know. But in my opinion, like, instead, what it did was it misguided you as to what the documentary was going to be about. Because to me, I was like, whoa, they must never black out. And, like, this must have been a very crazy instance.
It was shocking.
But instead, they were just kind of showing a normal free dive as the hook, which...
I could see that.
I mean, it's effective. Like, it interested you in the sport, but it didn't... In my opinion, it set me up to be confused the whole time. Because I was like, well, when are we going to get to that point? When are we going to find out, like, what this was? And then it just kind of... You learn later that it was literally just, like, a random dive that she did, and it was fine. Like, it...
It's kind of like a red herring.
Yeah, it was a red herring. I was just kind of like, it led me on a wild goose chase the whole time, being confused, especially with them then starting to introduce Steven. And I'm like, who the heck is this guy? Like, he means nothing to me, considering the hook and, like, what I am considering this documentary is moving towards.
Yeah.
So I didn't personally like it. But it was effective in hooking you. I think it just hooked you for the wrong reasons. So...
Hooked you right in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly.
Then you spit it out.
I hate to critique too much because I know I'm not a documentary maker and, like, these people are highly qualified. But I can say as a viewer that it led me into a confusing emotional experience in the documentary rather than, like, I think what they wanted out of it.
Yeah.
Unless they wanted me to be confused the whole time and frustrated.
I don't think so, but I can see.
But so why did you like the hook so much? Just because they introduced it? Like, it put you on the edge of your seat?
Yeah. Okay. I doubt many people, well, I could be wrong, but I doubt many people before watching this documentary knew all the, like, terminology and what goes into a free dive.
Well, they don't say any of the terminology in the hook, so your argument is null and void.
No, like, just in general. And then the hook is like, I don't know. I think it's good.
Yeah. It is crazy, though. Like, the free diving sport itself, like, you are literally swimming into darkness by yourself, like, in the ocean. Like, how is that not scary?
I know. God.
Like, how are they not terrified?
Minutes underwater. How do you hold your breath for that long?
Like, they are hooked to the wire, which is nice.
Swimming.
I know. And how do you not get scared of the abyss of it? You know? Like, it's so...
You gotta be really passionate about it.
Yeah. She said that, like, when she's doing a dive, her lung will compress to the size of her fist. Like... That is crazy, the strain she puts on her body. Like, she must be in such good shape.
Yeah.
Walking honestly, up the stairs can be hard sometimes.
This was very similar to Free Solo. It's the same, honestly, same kind of deal.
It's a person who's opposite. So obsessed with their... Yeah, just going down rather than up. And you have no safety net. Like, you do. You have safeties, but your safeties can only go so far for you.
Yeah.
And, like, the rest of the way is on you. Oof, crazy. So, then after they do the hook, they go into the childhood and backstory of Alicia and Steven. So Alicia always loved free diving when she was a child. But Stephen found it later in life after he traveled the world for years, looking for a purpose, almost is the way they talk about it. And they show Alicia is extremely competitive. She wants to be the best in the world. And her role model is Natalia Molchanova.
Molchanova, yep.
Molchanova, who is like the most world-renowned female free diver in the world, pretty much.
She was cool.
She was super cool. And Alicia's goal was to break all of Natalia's records, which like, it's kind of sad. Like, I don't know. I guess records are set to be broken. But it's so weird that it's like, you're my idol. I want to destroy you. You know,
yeah, get that
I
want to
break
status.
All your records. She was just like a highly competitive person. Like, so she trains her whole life basically to try to beat all of Natalia's records. The first one she goes for is breaking her record for swimming a 101 meter free dive as the deepest female diver ever. So when they say 101 meter free dive, it's like 101 meters straight down and then 101 meters straight back up.
So you're doing double
like
the amount.
It's funny, like you're literally just swimming up and down. Yeah. But it's like people die doing it.
Yeah. Apparently, fun fact, it's not like any more dangerous than like football or soccer or like rock climbing.
Why?
Just because of like statistically the amount of deaths that happen during free diving compared to running or football.
True, but you're also not blocking out in compressing your lungs to the size of a fist when you get hit in the head with a soccer ball.
That's true, but hitting other
people. I guess you could block out from getting hit in the head.
Yeah, you could. Concussions with the football helmets. Mm-hmm. That was a whole controversy too.
Oh yeah, there's a whole Will Smith movie about that.
Yeah.
The concussions. But I would also say statistically the amount of people who free dive
is
probably
much
way
lower
less
than the people who play football.
Yeah, but I mean maybe the percentages are the same, as in like 2% of free divers end up having severe injuries, 2% of soccer players end up with severe injuries, except for I feel
true.
Like every soccer player I know has torn their ACL 3 times.
Well, they're also really good at faking injuries too.
Soccer players, the men are.
The men are.
The women's team is not.
Yeah, that's
usually
true.
The women's teams don't, but the men are super dramatic. Yeah, at least that's always what they show in all the memes.
Yep.
I bet you they're not all like that, but it is a funny joke.
Oh, yeah. It's very common.
So also, I have a fun fact too. So when we were looking this up, I wanted to see what the male record was, and it was 128 meters.
128 meters.
And then I was like, well, what's the female record? Because this documentary was from 2017 when Alicia went to break Natalia's record.
Yeah.
And so Natalia's record is 101. In the documentary, I'm going to spoil it. Who cares? What's her name?
Alicia.
Alicia breaks the record to 104. Alicia now has a record for 123
Holy
meters.
Crap. That's crazy.
She added 20 meters onto the world record.
That's like, how many feet is that? I don't even know. 50 feet?
It's funny to me how like, if you think about it, she's just doing the same thing over and over and over again, just like a little bit farther. But she loves it so much. Like she just gets tired of it. Like when you play soccer, every game is different. I wonder if like in a sense, every dive is different. I mean, you're in different locations and everything, but like you're doing literally the exact same thing over and over again.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder. I forgot what I was going to say. Sorry.
Okay. So Alicia is going to try to break the world record at this huge competition called Vertical Blue, where all the best divers in the world come together to compete. And this year, there is stiff competition with her competitor, Hanako Hirose, who was showing up and also wants to fight for the world record female title. So her and Hanako have like very similar dive abilities. So they're like neck and neck.
Yeah.
So at first, Alicia is struggling and she is not completing her dive successfully. She is getting red flags, which basically say her dive was not within the requirements to
so
be considered
it's gotta
good.
It's got to be like they have to hold on to the rope and then for at least like 15 seconds and say, I'm okay, like in English. That's like a qualification. And then after 15 seconds, if you're still like
conscious.
Can't say it right now.
Conscious.
Anyways.
You're saying conscience.
Conscious. Yeah, anyway, after those 15 seconds and you say, I'm okay, then you get, and you got the tag from the bottom. then you get a white card.
So they have to make sure that you don't like pass out right after. So if you
help, you're disqualified.
Yeah. And then if you can say I'm okay and hold yourself up, then you're like good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have to hold yourself up like a certain amount above the water?
No, it's just like so you're not just like floating.
Oh, I think. Yeah, floating. I love how you like pretended to be floating. Yeah, you demonstrated it. That's funny.
Trying to give the audience.
That's interesting. So that's what you have to do to get a white card.
Yeah.
To like the dive to count as a competitive dive. Okay. So Alicia is getting a bunch of red cards, basically. But she and Steven meet at this competition and they start to train together and she starts to do a lot better. So Steven is a highly renowned safety diver. He is known for risking his life for the divers that he is a safety for. So the safety divers are basically the people who they dive down pretty close to the surface, like 30 meters or less, 30 to 40 meters. And they meet the divers as they're coming up because they said in the documentary that you're most likely to have injuries and for things to go wrong in like the last 10 meters of a dive. So they have like a bunch of people there and medical professionals there just in case if something happens. So the safeties will dive down like relatively close to the surface and like swim up with them to make sure that they're okay. And then they're right there if the person starts to black out underwater, and then they'll swim them to the surface and like take care of them. So Steven is like a really qualified one. Alicia is starting to improve from her beginning performance because of the help of Steven. And she breaks the world record with a dive of 102 meters. But then the next dive Hanako Hirose does, she beats her at 103 meters. And Alicia is not happy about it.
She's
so
pissed.
She goes for 104 meters. And she does it successfully and she breaks the world record. It was super epic to watch the two of them have like such a competitive streak against each other. It was like definitely you were like, oh my gosh, like this is amazing.
Yeah.
They broke world records.
It's crazy.
But it's kind of weird how like people who are at the level of like breaking world records, like their coaches are not able to do what they do. Like our track coaches, right? Like they were athletes probably even better than us when they were athletes or close to, you know, like in a high school level of like whatever.
High school.
And like people who get up to the Olympics, like their coaches are fellow Olympians. You know what I mean? People who did the Olympics before or something. And like, it's so interesting to think that people who are like breaking world records, like your coach can't even do what you do, but they can see what you can't see.
Yes.
And they can like advise you as an outside perspective. It's really interesting. I don't know. You would just think like, well, I'm better than you. Like, I know more than you. But it's like they
can do this and you
can tweak you with like being that, you know, separated, you know, they're not all up in your head like you are.
Yeah, yeah. They have an outside perspective and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's pretty interesting too, especially with free diving because
it
definitely takes a certain amount of passion and skill and
The life-threatening ones. And like Steven, like, was training Alicia, but they also had a romantic relationship. So it's kind of like, I wonder, they must have been so passionate about their sport that the sport did not hinder their relationship because they were both so passionate about diving that like their life revolved around it and they loved that, you know?
That's true. And I think because they
I
didn't
feel like that
start
would be tricky
out in a romantic relationship, he just started training her, then I think that's a better outcome than
dating like, and then your partner becoming your coach.
I don't know.
I feel like that would be tricky.
That wouldn't go over well with the judges, I don't think.
Yeah, especially like if he's your safety too. But if you follow all the rules, you know,
then you're
fine. Like that's what the judges are there for. So you're not cheating. So Alicia and Steven become extremely close after she breaks the world record at this competition, and she and him begin to train together for her next big event. So she wants to free dive the arch at Blue Hole in Dahab, Egypt. So this is like an underwater arch that is like notorious of people like diving, but then they get lost and they like are never found basically. Like there's a lot of people who have died there. Apparently it said in the documentary that like more people died there than in Mount Everest or something.
Yeah, it said something like that. I've got to fact check that.
Yeah, that was interesting. But basically like what happens is they'll dive and they'll be in the arch, but then they won't be able to see the way out and they'll get stuck and they'll run out of oxygen before they get to the other side of the arch.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous. But Alicia wants to do it because her role model Natalia did it with a monofin like years earlier. And so Alicia wants to do it, but this time she wants to do it without a monofin. So be the first female to dive it without a monofin.
Which is much harder.
Yes, it's much harder. So she trains with Steven at his free diving training center in Dahab, Egypt, called Dahab Free Divers, that has become a world famous training center. And they train for this feat, and they plan it to a T. They are very thorough, and they tell you all the things. They have literally all the people who were even involved in the event, like in the documentary, yeah, which is so crazy. But things go wrong, and Alicia, she swims through the arch a lot faster than they expected, so they had timed it all out, but she ended up doing it at a lot faster pace. So Steven was supposed to be waiting for her on the outside of the arch so that it would be easy for her to find him, grab the rope, and then swim to the top. But because he wasn't there, she was unable to see where the rope was that was going to lead her to the top. And so she ended up swimming the wrong way. And Steven sees that she's swimming the wrong way, so he swims to meet her and bring her to the surface, but she and him both black out. Steven uses his last bit of energy to make sure that Alicia is face up so that she will survive, and Steven ends up facing down, and they said that if you black out and you are facing down, there's pretty much no chance of you surviving. Yeah. So he passes away, and it's kind of shown as a testament to their love and his dedication as a safety that he gave his own life to save hers. And it's very emotional. Like, and they have so many close friends of his who were involved. And it's just like, he just seemed like a really wonderful person. And it was like, it was very sad.
Yeah. Like Alicia's father was like, I wish it would, like, I would give my life for his.
Because he did that for my daughter. Yeah. It was so like emotional. Like, I was so like emotional the whole night, just because I was like, it really strikes a chord in you. Like, I don't know, like people who are, he like actually is a hero. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like he literally gave his life to save the woman that he loved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like without even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. It was just very beautiful, and I think I kind of liked in the end how it was almost more about their relationship and about what he did, because you always think it's going to be about it's going to be about the athlete,
main person's achievement
or the world champion, she broke the record, but instead it became about like him and his sacrifice and like how amazing he was.
Yeah
It was pretty cool.
Apparently the director, Laura McCann, lived across the street from Steven's father. And she discovered this.
So that's how she knows the story.
Well, when she began the project, she didn't know
that she lived across the street from Steven's dad.
Yeah, until so she began the project.
Is Irish?
Yeah.
That is crazy. She had no idea, and then she ended up meeting his father, I'm assuming, and talking about it. Mm-hmm. I'm making a documentary about your son. I didn't even know you lived there. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Whoa, that is a fun fact. That is a very fun fact. I had fun listening to that. So this is the first time in the documentary that they show Alicia, and it's at the end. And I think they wanted you to really wonder the whole time if she actually survived or not. So like, even though I didn't love the way they hooked it, I think they executed many parts of the documentary really well. How they don't show you her the whole time doing a like interview with the documentary team, because they want you to wonder if she died in the hook or something, even though they show you halfway through she didn't, but then you wonder if she died going through the arch. So it's like they keep you on your toes, you know, like some documentaries, they show the person right away and you're like, well, I know you're going to be fine.
See, I don't like it. I don't like that they,
Hid it from you.
It was like a bait and switch, you know, because you thought something was going to happen to Alicia the whole time.
Well, they weren't showing Steven either. So that's why I was suspicious about both of them.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But I think it takes away from just like the documentary itself.
Why?
It's just like, it's a bait and switch, you know. I guess it does keep you on your toes and does keep you guessing, but I think it takes away
the whole movie is a bait and switch. You have no idea who it's about the whole time because of the hook. So that's why it was a bait and switch. If we had known the whole time what it was going to actually be about, their dive at the Blue Arch, then it would have been different.
I think it takes away from like the real life tragedy of Steven. I don't know.
Because then it turns into being about Alicia.
Yeah,
I guess, but it kind of turns into her talking about their relationship and like him.
But and I would have been interested to see more of Alicia's like talking throughout the documentary, just to get her perspective too.
I think she was like, they didn't. It's almost like they didn't talk to her much about any of the other experiences, because there's not much audio of her talking about things until after Steven dies. And then she only really talks about Steven. So yeah, I wonder if she didn't want to talk about anything else.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know either, but...
Yeah, that's why I gave it 3. I thought that was... it felt like a cop-out.
Oh. I guess it was an easy way to get an emotional reaction out of you. You know?
I mean, from the beginning, just by the way Alicia's father is saying things, you know something's bad is going to happen.
I know. I thought Alicia died, though, from the way that they were saying things.
Yeah, yeah.
So... Okay. So one really sad thing just in general about the documentary is that they show how Alicia's father worries so much for her, but she seems so distant from her family. Like, maybe they just didn't portray the whole picture of her family relationship.
They might not have.
But it seems like her father seems like helpless and distant from her, and she doesn't tell him her attempts at her next world records because she doesn't want to scare him. But he has to watch it on TV every time, hoping that she doesn't die. And it's like, gosh, it's just got to be so hard to be a family member of somebody who
watch
like
that on TV.
Does stuff like that, you know? And it's like, I always find it so weird, people who like love sports or activities that you risk your life for, because it means that the feeling of euphoria of the accomplishment is enough for them that it is worth potentially not waking up tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, I can see both sides, I think.
Yeah.
If they're so passionate about something and that's what they want to do in life, then
that's what you should do.
Yeah. Want to take that away from them. But at the same time, it can cause a family member is a lot of worry, a lot of heartache. And
yeah. Well, it's more just like, it blows my mind that like anybody could love something that could kill them so easily, so much, you know?
Yeah. It's like Gran Turismo too. You
know? Yeah. I was thinking the same thing, like driving race cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those are all the notes that I had for the podcast this week, guys. It's not too long of a one because I don't know, it just wasn't.
Yeah, that's
the movie. Honestly, though, I think they dragged it on. Yeah. It was too long.
A little too long.
Like, it was just, it wasn't very focused. Like, they wanted, oh, let's talk about Vertical Blue. Oh, let's talk about the Blue Arch. Oh, we need to introduce Steven and her. And it's kind of like the whole time you don't know what it's about. I think that was my biggest issue with it, is that they had you on a wild goose chase the whole time.
Agreed. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This reminds me of another documentary I watched called The Octopus Teacher, or My Octopus Teacher.
That's a weird name.
Yeah, it's a very weird story, actually. But I cried at the end of that. Which,
what was it about?
It was about a guy off the coast of, oh, I don't know, maybe California, like Southern California, who just dives and snorkels. I forget what his, like, what he just loved the ocean, and he befriends this like octopus, and it's like their,
oh my
story
gosh,
together.
That sounds interesting.
It won an Oscar.
Isn't
it, yeah,
like that movie about like the guy who like lives with bears?
Grizzly Man. Yeah, that was a documentary by what's his name, Werner Herzog. Yeah,
I remember that was a big thing, wasn't it?
That was a big one. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, next week we're going to watch Aporia.
Oh, right. I totally forgot about
that.
Because
it's another movie you don't have to go to the theaters to see. So, thanks for tuning in. Sorry we missed a week, but we're going to do our best not to. So, we'll see you guys next time.
See ya.